This is Three Sides of the Coin, talking all things KISS.
I want to rock and roll all night.
You're listening to Three Sides of the Coin.
So you love the show. Go to itunes.threesidesofthecoin.com and leave your review and rating of Three Sides of the Coin. Thanks.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Three Sides of the Coin. Actually, I think this might be Three Sides on the Side since I'm flying solo. Mark, we're recording this on Thursday, January 18th. Mark is probably somewhere over the Midwest on his way to Atlanta, and Tommy and I fly tomorrow to the Atlanta KISS Expo to meet Vinnie Vincent and everybody
Excellent.
Who's coming out there. But anyway, we wanted to do a quick episode with Jay Gilbert. Is this your third time? This
third
is your
time.
Third time on Three Sides.
Three. First time caller, long time listener.
Three. Jay was the official photographer at the Los Angeles Vault of Gene Simmons Vault. Not the vault.
The first
Gene
one.
Gene Simmons vault event. The very first vault event. About a week ago?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
There's definitely been a lot of other people who attended that have posted their reviews and everything along those lines. But we wanted to sit down with Jay and just get his story, his recap of what it was like being the official photographer all day long for this event. So, Jay, why don't you fill us in? How did this even start? How did they get you in as a photographer?
Well, I was hired by Rhino, which is the record company for this release. At first, I did two shoots, actually. One was a video shoot where I went to Gene's house. And you'll remember that there was a promotion that was run that if you ordered the set, I believe it was Black Friday.
A Black Friday special.
Yeah, that Gene would call you on the phone. And so I went to his house and into his office. I'd been there a couple of times before for other things. I was there with, one person from the label, and I was there with Gene. And he came in. You know, I set up my video gear, and he made it was a bunch of calls. We were filming for about 2.5 hours. And he did exactly what he said he would do. He got on the phone with each one of them. And it was awesome because it wasn't the same rap every single call. It was him, hey, you know, this is Gene Simmons. And you listen to the person on the other line because he held his iPhone up and you could hear it. And the lavalier mic was picking up, you know, what was going on. And it was so fun to watch, because Gene actually enjoyed it and was engaged in it. And he would ask them, you know, where do you work? What are you doing? And one of them said, oh, I'm working at Walmart. My boss is standing right here. Well, let me talk to your boss. It was awesome.
So I'm assuming these fans didn't know Gene was calling at that specific time. They knew they were going to get a call. They didn't know when.
They knew the day, but not the time.
Okay, so they just knew that day, at some point, there would be a phone call from Gene Simmons.
Yeah, and they could be at work, they could be at home. Most everybody picked up. There was a great story of this guy that he talked to, who his wife bought the box set for him, and then sadly she was killed. And Gene asked, well, what happened? And he said his wife was run off the road by a big rig and killed. And I mean, Gene was emotionally, you know, shook up by this.
I bet.
This wasn't, you know, some rock star getting on, you know, hey, you know, thanks for buying my box set, you know, and giving the same old rap. It was very sincere and it was very heartfelt. Anyway, that kind of set the stage. So we did that.
Do you know by chance what was Rhino's plan to do with the videos? What did they use those for?
Yeah, the plan was, from the best of my knowledge, was This was prior to the first vault experience, which is the one I shot that we're going to talk about in a minute. They wanted to have some video footage as well as images from the first vault to get out online, you know, the website, socials, ECRM. You know, they want to get that out there to show people what is happening. And they wanted to kind of put this all either in a sizzle reel, into just, you know, communications via those platforms to encourage more people to go to the vault experience to sign up for it.
Okay, cool.
So as I'm leaving, Gene loads me up with, you know, swag. So first of all, you know, I'm a huge fan. I love these guys, and it's a thrill to work with them. I've worked with them off and on for many, many years, different projects, but it never gets old to have your hero kind of load you up with, you know, like swag, like little, you know, action figures and all sorts of fun stuff. And I'm, you know, walking to my car, you know, loaded up with this stuff. So that was kind of cool. And then 2 weeks later, which would, you know, it's last week, it was the first vault experience. It was held at Capitol Studios in Hollywood, in Studio A, which is legendary, you know, Frank Sinatra, Beach Boys, you know the rap, right? Yeah. I mean, if somebody's watching or listening
just,
to this.
Just head to Wikipedia and search.
Yeah, take a look.
Capitol Recording Studio.
It's historic. Yeah. I mean, when you walk in there, you can feel the ghosts. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Anyway, so let me just tell you that this was an all-day thing. Most of the people got there at 7, 8, 9 in the morning and didn't leave until 7, 8, 9 at night.
So what? So wait a second. So they got there at 7, 8 in the morning.
To set up.
And what do you mean they? Fans?
The crew. Okay. Well, there were some people there pretty early. I got there before 9 a.m. The thing started, I believe, at 11:30. So I had plenty of time to... I brought an assistant with me. I set up my lights in the control booth. And they also had video lights in there because they had a video crew in there filming the thing. But everybody was so cool. We didn't really get any in each other's way. It was good. The setup was smooth. They had really good food catered. They had beautiful tables. They had swag for everybody. You could see this one room, which was probably an isolation room for maybe recording the drums or something. It was filled up with all of these box sets, and it was pretty impressive to see all of those lined up.
How many do you think were there? How many box sets at that first event?
I'm guessing roughly 50, and there's probably 100 or so people because you could bring a guest. And that's in general terms, probably around 50 of them. And... you know, Gene got there, looked around. He went over, they had a little stage set up, you know, in front of the tables, and he got an acoustic guitar, and I took some pictures of him just noodling on the acoustic guitar. It wasn't his guitar. There were a couple of guitars there, one that Ace played, but we'll get to that. But these weren't their guitars. And if you know anything about Ace Frehley, his style of playing is not suited for the acoustic guitar. He likes to bend strings. He likes to play a certain way. It's a challenge to do some of those things on a tightly strung acoustic. Anyway, so he tested that out, you know, looked around. He seemed pretty happy and pretty impressed at what was set up there. So he comes into the control booth and, you know, we had some initial discussion about where we're going to shoot things and moving the lights different places. Let me turn this off. So once we got that kind of set up, it was just a matter of them letting people in.
So let me ask you. So we had Keith Valcourt on, I don't know, a couple months ago from Rhino Records, who's the project manager for the vault. And one of the things Keith mentioned back then was, you know, they hadn't done a vault experience yet, but the plan was going to be, all the fans were going to be in one room and they could hang out together, but there would be a separate room where just you, the purchaser, and your guest and Gene would be privately. That's where Gene would give you your vault and spend some time with you. So is that the basic layout?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. The main Studio A, everybody came in, there were tables, there's swag, there's banners, There's the stage. They brought in food and drink, and you know how it is with Kiss fans. We get each other. If we've never met,
it's one big family gathering. Yeah,
you meet somebody there, you're instantly friends.
Yep.
And so it was a very cool vibe of people just, hey, talking. And there's people that, people that, have written Kiss books that, there was a lot of kind of Kiss people there. And, Gene had the studio, the actual control booth where the board is, which is pretty big in Studio A. That's where I set up. And the great part is behind the board, or behind where the producer and engineer would sit, there were some seats, but it was up a little bit of a step, which was great. Cause then I could stand up there, get a little bit above everything with my camera, have lights on each side. And there's so much glass in there. It was really a challenge to light this thing without everything coming back in your face. But we got some really soft lighting, made everybody look really good. And so people started filtering into the main room and talking and everything. And that was great. Gene came into the control booth and we kind of talked about how we were going to roll a box set from the accompanying room to him. He presented to everybody, each person individually, and then kind of walked through the box set. So the first one comes in, he wheels it out, and he has the person lift it, right? Because this thing's 38 pounds. Mm-hmm. And when everybody who lifted it said the same thing, wow, or oh my God, and they put it up on this table behind the control booth. And then Gene would open it up and he would say, this has got a book in it. The actual dial isn't a real, it's a real dial from a vault.
But it's not a combination.
It's not a combination. And his reasoning behind that is a valid one. It's, this would get forgotten and then you'd have to break into it or whatever. So that's why they didn't do that. But I think the most exciting part of the day was that each one of these vaults has a secret, a separate compartment. Right, that you have to open a certain way. And there is a piece of Gene Simmons memorabilia in there. And
one
it's
of a
unique.
Kind.
Yep. Yeah, one of a kind, unique to every box set. And you could probably guess what some of those things were. He had a laminate from a tour with his name on it. That's cool. There's only one, right? That's kind of neat. There was some, things from different tours, programs, things like that.
What do you remember as being the absolute coolest special one-of-a-kind item that was revealed?
There were two of them, two of his Rolex watches.
Whoa!
Yeah, the second guy in line reaches in there, pulls out. It's a Rolex watch, and it's Gene's Rolex watch. First of all, the Rolex watch is probably worth the $2,000 he paid for the box.
Oh, God,
right?
More than that. I was going to say, depending... Listen, I don't buy Rolex watches, but aren't those $10,000, $15,000
easily? I don't know, but they're high-end. Yeah, they're high-end watches.
Obviously, it's special because it was Gene's, but was it special because it was Gene from, 1976?
No.
Or it didn't get into that detail.
There were some. There were some items that were from, here's from this tour. This is an item from this tour. Here's a towel from our 77 Japanese tour. There were some really cool things in there.
What do you remember? Let's go back to the Rolex.
Yeah.
What was the reaction of those fans?
He was in shock. He thought it was a joke. He's looking at like seriously? I get a key? He was blown away. Absolutely blown away. And that was the second guy in line,
Wow.
And I'm taking pictures of this going, did he just give him a Rolex watch?
Holy crap.
And there was two of them. There was another watch. I don't know if it was a Rolex, but there was another really nice watch.
Well, Gene isn't wearing swatches.
No. But, his reasoning, and here's the great thing, the second greatest thing about this day was that I'm in this control booth with him, from 11 in the morning until probably 7, like a good 7-8 hours. And between people, we're talking about music. He started singing this song from the 60s, and I love that stuff, so I remembered it, and I started singing the next verse, and he's like, I'm really impressed that you know that line of that song, that sort of thing. That was just, money can't buy that. I mean, it was just such a great day. And we'll get to this in a minute, but, you know, Ace Frehley was there. Bruce Kulick was there. Eric Singer was there. That was pretty cool, too. You know, to have those guys come in and, you know, you're basically just sitting there.
Did you know in advance they were going to be there, or was it?
I knew that Ace was going to be there. The day before, a friend of mine from the record label sent me a note and goes, just be prepared. Ace is going to be there to support it. And Ace was supporting it, meaning that he would ask Gene, what do you want me to do? And if somebody wanted their picture taken with both Gene and Ace with the box, Ace would come around and have that photo taken. And he was basically there to help him.
Today, or was it yesterday, Gene announced that at his Vault event in Miami, Ace Frehley is going to be a guest. And as a quick aside, just today it was announced that Kiss Cruise 8, the first guest, musical guests, are Ace Frehley, Bruce Kulick, and Bob Kulick are already confirmed for Kiss Cruise 8.
How cool is that?
Ace was asked to be on the last cruise. Couldn't do it. He was committed to some touring events, apparently. But he's coming back for Kiss Cruise 8. So.
And you know, we've all read the books. We know the history. But the bottom line was there's still a lot of love between these two guys. And you and I talked about this on a Three Sides episode when I shot the Ace Frehley, Paul Stanley, you know, doing the video. A lot of love between those guys. And the funniest part was to hear them kind of banter. And then Gene kind of went, wait, stop. Ace has his story. And then he goes through this long story that we've all heard about. They're at this hotel and Ace falls into the pool and he's drowning and he gets pulled out. And then Gene goes, it's a really great story. The only problem is it was Peter. I wasn't Ace. So all day long, it was stuff like that. It was super cool. So,
you just said events started right off with Gene in the control room.
That's right.
He was there for what, almost 7 hours in that control room?
He was, but he took a break.
Time would you estimate he spent with each fan in the control room?
Long time.
I mean, were we talking 2 minutes, 20 minutes?
No, we're minutes? Talking, I would say the average was probably 5 to 7 minutes, but there were some that were quicker because they, maybe it was just 2 minutes because they were nervous and they just, all they wanted was their box set, shake hands and go, only a few of those. And then there were some that went on, you know, 10, 15 minutes because they engaged him in conversation. It was something about their family, or, you know, they served in the military, or, you know, those types of things.
It wasn't a record in-store thing where somebody was like, move along. Move along.
No one ever said that.
Gene gave the time that was needed.
No one ever looked over and said, we got to get going. I mean, there was one time, and Gene was just kind of half joking, where he had been with somebody for quite a long time. And he looks over and he goes, well, they're giving me the stink eye, so I guess I better wrap this up, kind of thing. But no, there was one point during the middle of the day where the record company folks came in very kind and said, look, we've got X amount of number, you know, of people out there. We're going to have to kind of move this along a little bit. But no one felt rushed. He took his time with everyone. He moved slowly, deliberately. There was one guy who reached into the vault. Well, let me back up. He gave you the choice. You could either open the vault compartment now and find out what your individual rare item is, or you could wait till you get home. A couple people said, I'll wait till I get home. Okay, that's fine. But this one guy said, no, I want to see what it is. He reaches in and it's a rubber Gene Simmons mask. So he wanted Gene to sign it. So he puts it on and then Gene's signing it. And I've got this great photo. It's so surreal of Gene facing Gene, like signing.
Autographing his face.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool. So the presentation, you know, that was pretty cool. Looking into it, talking about it, that was pretty cool. And then he kind of ended each segment by signing the top of it. And he'd say, you know, what do you want me to write? You know, and some people had specific things. Others, you know, just said, hey, whatever you want to write. Sometimes he wrote a few words. Sometimes he filled with the whole side. Everything was different, but it looked really beautiful, you know, by the time they got it signed. And then I would take photos kind of candid of them being talking to Gene. So they had something, you know, real. Gene does the fist bump, right? So a lot of them were of that, or, you know, of him explaining things to them. And then I'd get, at the very end, I'd get one shot of them posed, you know, that they can, you know, share right. with their friends and stuff. And there were fans from all over the world. There were people that flew in from China.
Wow.
There were, you know, and I'd seen this before, fans that come in and they break down crying. I mean, and if for those of us who have been lifelong fans, we get this. I mean, this is a band that has helped us through hard times. This is yep. a band that most people don't understand this, Michael, and I know you do. In order to be a Kiss fan, you got to take a little shit. You got to take
more than a
people telling you, Led Zeppelin's better, bro. I mean, these guys suck. They're wearing makeup. What are you talking about? These guys are awful. And by doing that, you have a sense of ownership. You have a piece of this band, and they become a part of your psyche. Like, you know what? I can get knocked down, but I'm getting back up, you know, not to get too existential, but you get it, right? This is more than just a band or a brand. This is a lifestyle. It's something you're passionate about. And when you see these fans come in and they just break down crying, you're like, oh my God, I get it. This band has helped this guy through a divorce, or he's helped him through childhood or whatever. And Gene was emotionally touched by this. I mean, I saw tears. It wasn't an act. It wasn't, you know, oh God. You know,
it wasn't World Without Heroes of putting the eye drops in.
It's no place for me. So yeah, that was pretty cool. That he took a break kind of in the early afternoon to go out into the crowd with Ace. And I kind of followed him with my assistant holding lights up, taking some pictures of him, just signing stuff for people and just high five and saying hi, whatever. Then he and Ace got on stage together and they were just winging it. You know, they'd play some blues progression and they played 2000 Man. You know, they played a couple of Ace songs mostly. I think they did Cold Gin. They did Rocket Ride. They did it, and it was, you know, on acoustic, a little sloppy, but they didn't rehearse it. But that's what made it so cool.
Right, right.
If it was all tight and rehearsed, I think it would have been less special. But they were laughing at each other. You know, hopefully you can share some of the photos.
Were Bruce and Eric there at this point in time already, or did they show up later?
They showed up later, a little bit later. There's a shot of Gene where he's just laughing so hard. He's way back in the chair. He was really enjoying himself. He really enjoyed playing with Ace. That banter back and forth between those two, that playful poking fun at each other, it was hilarious. It was great. After they did that, they went back into the control booth, and that's when Bruce came in, Eric came in, and you've probably seen the picture that Eric posted that I shot with my iPhone, actually. Gene signed Eric's box and said, to Eric, blow me, Gene Simmons. That was pretty cool. You know,
I think you shared a couple photos of Eric lugging his vault out, and it was just like, oh my God, that's just so funny. There's Eric Singer, the drummer of Kiss, having to lug this vault out to his car.
It was funny. Eric was relentless picking on Gene, relentless. And at one point he goes, Gene, wait, I got an idea. Why don't you make the next vault a little bigger and you can put a midget inside with Kiss makeup and he can pop out and present it? You know, Gene's just rolling his eyes like, dear Lord. So it was that kind of day, right? And again, Eric would come around. If anybody wanted a picture with Bruce, Eric, you know, I took a couple of shots that I was really happy with, which was Gene, Bruce, and Eric and Ace together, you know, kind of that, you know, pilgrimage, that lineage of, you know, old Kiss, new Kiss, medium Kiss. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then go ahead. Do you have a question?
No. I was just going to say, so they get at, you know, after Bruce and Eric and Bruce and Eric, did they go out into the crowd and do any Q&As? Did they perform anything, or were they just
later,
sort of there as just guests?
No, it was a little of both. In the beginning, they kind of hung out in the control room you know, on the couch. You know, we just sat together talking about music and stuff between each person bringing it in. And then they would pose for photos and do the thing to support Gene, which is pretty cool. And then at the very end of the night, at the end of the signing, which I believe was around 7 p.m. ish, if I'm not mistaken, they all went out front and, you know, Bruce Kulick had a guitar, Ace had a guitar. I don't think Gene did at that point, and Eric was on stage with them, and they were doing songs all together, which was pretty cool, and telling stories. And the part I'm leaving out is there was a part where Gene was basically playing things from the box set. So there was a guy in the control booth, and Gene would say, okay, I'm going to tell a story about writing a few songs with Bob Dylan. And he starts telling the story.
I was going to ask you, did they have any of the vault demos playing as background?
All day. Yeah, they definitely played the vault all day. And as you can guess, some of them were really, you know, a small tape recorder in the back of a room picking up the ambient noise to fully fleshed out demos that sound like the record. And, you know, there's some of fan favorites. Some of these things we've heard maybe on bootlegs or versions of, you know, It's My Life, you know, which he gave away to Wendy O. Williams. That version of that song that they do is so good. And I don't know why it wasn't on a Kiss album, but, and then there's some things that people, you know, have been waiting for, you know, the Van Halen demos and things like that. But he did the kind of the storyteller's thing where play part of the song and then tell the story or vice versa. And the fans, even though they'd been there all day long, nobody left. Everybody had a smile on their face the whole time. And Gene would ask people when they would bring the vault to them and he signed it and stuff, he'd say, so how is it out there? Is the food good? Are everybody treating you okay? Every single person said, this is the best day of my life. This is awesome. Everybody's so cool. You know, it was, a really great experience for those fans.
It does, you know, as you're describing this, I'm going, you know, we've talked about this on Kiss Online. We talked about it on the Music Biz podcast. Gene wasn't selling the music here. He was selling an experience. And based on the first event, that experience was above and beyond, I think, what anybody imagined would happen. You know, it's a $2,000 box set, but you were there from 11:30 until what? When did the fans leave? 7?
Oh my God. No. That's when the performance started. I don't think anybody left there until like after 9, maybe even closer to 10.
Wow. So you were there for almost 12 hours.
Yeah.
A 12 hour.
I was exhausted.
VIP
oh my God.
Experience as a fan, we're not talking people like you and other crew that were there longer. As a fan, this was not a 20-minute, 15-minute. This wasn't 1 hour. This was nearly 12 hours.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Gene. You ended up the surprise of Ace Frehley there. Bruce Kulick was there. Eric Singer was there.
Yeah. That's right. It was, I don't think, well, think about it in these terms. You know this band as well as anyone. They don't do anything half-assed. They don't do anything like other bands do. Everything's got to be
bigger,
over
better,
the top, bigger
never,
than life.
Never done before.
And I hate to sound like a broken record, but, you know, they do want to be this great experience. When you go to one of their shows, you get your money's worth. They've said that for years, right? So when you go, you should kind of almost expect that with the vault experience. I don't think everyone's going to be the same, but I can promise you that everyone is going to be over the top and blow your mind. You know, none of us were expecting just the quality. I mean, he brought a bunch of swag for people, you know, figurines, action figures, dolls, all that kind of stuff. He brought a lot of that for people.
So they got extra and additional Kiss swag above and beyond what was in the box set. So he just had like a Kiss merch table in the back that you got free.
Well, they
merch.
Had tables for everybody, and then there was merch on each one of those tables, and there was merch kind of hanging you know, on the walls and stuff.
It's like a Kiss wedding where the centerpiece is Kiss merch that you get to take home.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. That's, again, beyond what was ever pitched, what was conceived, yep. what anybody was expecting.
Right. Yeah. It was I thought about it, like, as a fan, if I wasn't shooting it, if I would have gone to it, I would have felt like I got my money's worth at $2,000. And there's not many bands on the planet that could pull that off, where you really felt like, because that's a lot of money for folks. You know, a yes. lot of these people aren't making a ton of money, and this is a huge investment for them. And there were people that flew in, like I said, from all over the world, all over the country. And just the hotel they had to pay for, the flight, the gas, whatever to get there. There were people that drove, you know, from Denver to get there. And I heard story after story, and they all left feeling that was worth it. That was absolutely worth it.
You know, and I can't say this. I have no inside knowledge, but I just imagine that every vault experience that he's going to throw around the world is going to have some special little surprise. And by that, I mean, maybe somebody showing up. It may not be Ace Frehley at all of them, or Bruce or Eric Singer, but maybe it's some other musician who lives in that town that Gene invites out. And this musician shows up and jams with Gene, shares yeah. stories of being on the road as an opening act, or
yeah.
I just imagine that's what's planned. That's what they're yeah. What they're hoping to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to be excited to hear the other stories, you know, from the other markets. One thing about the box itself is nothing really prepares you for it. It's like an anvil case with metal handles when you lift it up, and the wheels are metal and they run smooth, and it's got this, you know, these rivets in it. I mean, it's solid, you know, it's a beast. This is one of those things that, you know, you'll pass along generation to generation. It's not going to fall apart like some, you know,
you can
paper
use it
boxes.
As your end table.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So beyond like opening up and finding a couple Rolexes, were there any other special fan moments where, as a fan, you were like, wow, I'm so happy for that fan. I just saw that happen, or Gene did that. Any other things that stick out for you?
Yeah, I think that the fact that there were so many different items, you know, those, you know, personal items in there, that's just, it's mind blowing to me. Some of the things that he gave away, but he was saying, look, you can't take it with you. And
he's got a warehouse full of this stuff.
Right.
And literally that's where all this stuff came from, is Keith went out to the Kiss warehouse, and they just started going through the warehouse and picking stuff.
Yeah. And they found some really unusual things. I only saw maybe four or five items that were repeated. Like there, that towel from Japan 77, I think there were two of those. And one may have been even slightly different. So they really were unique items. And I think that kind of set it apart from other things. But also the book inside, you know, it's like a coffee table book. It's a beautiful book. But you're right. It's, yeah, there's, you know, he overpromised. I'm sorry, underpromised and overdelivered, right? He said there's 150 tracks. I think there's 167 or 175 or whatever it is. He wanted to give people more. And I think there's 11 CDs. I should have looked this up. But there's so many different parts of this set. But you hit it on the head a moment ago. It's not even about that. That's, you know, that's frosting. On the beater.
That's the music is just a little extra added bonus. I mean,
yeah.
I shouldn't say you're not, because I didn't buy this, but you're not buying the music. You're buying the experience. We just keep going back to that. It's the experience.
Yeah. And he gets it. That's what people want.
The music is just a bonus. It's just a little side bonus. It's a very cool bonus.
Yeah.
But come on. I mean, we've talked about it in the Music Biz Weekly podcast, how one of the things that's missing from the music business now is the excitement of an album release. The day an album comes out, going in, walking down to your record store, getting it when it, before it even hits the shelves, because you're asking the guy, did it come in? Let me go in the back and let me pull one out for you. We haven't even checked them in yet. You know, that excitement is long gone. And the vault brought that back, the excitement of getting your new release.
It's that experience. The closest thing I think the music industry has these days that gets me really excited is Pledge Music. They put out a campaign and there's, you know, like you and I talked about the Cheap Trick one, you know, you got the signed drum head and the checkerboard socks and those kinds of things. That's more of that experience. And more artists are putting things up there like, hey, you can do hand claps on my album. I'll write a song with you via Skype. Oh my God, can you imagine while we were growing up, if it was Queen or Aerosmith or Cheap Trick or Kiss, that we could write a song with them or have hand claps on their album? I would have sold my car, you know, to get that. So you're right. It's all about the experience. Nobody does it better than Kiss. Gene Simmons was not going to go out on this thing and just have, as you know, people will complain. People will let you know online if one of those backstage experiences that we talked about, if you have a bad experience, you're going to post it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You're going to tell your friends. Word's going to spread pretty fast, right? But he went the other way, knowing that if you under-promise, over-deliver, you know, these people were going home, you know, like 10 o'clock at night, exhausted. But every single one of those guys drove home going, that was worth every penny I spent for it. And I don't think there's very many people who could pull that off.
You know, it's so nice to see that's the end result. You know, Gene took a lot of heat when this box set was announced.
Yeah.
You know, $2,000 box set up to what was the big one was $50,000. And it was all just different levels of experiences. And fans that were just tearing them to shreds. You know, you're greedy. You don't need any more money. Why are you doing this? It's just music. Who would spend $2,000 for 150 songs? And the greatest revenge is delivering a product and an experience that silence everybody who had something negative to say. You don't have to buy it. That's fine. That's your decision. But to sit here and say it was going to be a crappy experience, sorry, you just blew it because it was not a crappy experience.
No, it was very sincere.
Look at what happened here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he explained to a lot of people when they asked him about it that this is something he wanted to do. He wanted to meet the fans, those hardcore fans that do this. He wanted to talk to them and thank them. And he said this to almost every person that day. I thank you. When they thank him, he go, I'm thanking you because I would never have had the life I had without you. I never would, you know, be able to do the things that I want to do and create music and play and tour and all of that if it wasn't for people like you. And it wasn't a rap. It was very sincere. And I think in the end, you know, he's got the last laugh.
Always does. You know, and you know, just hats off to him for delivering an experience that just goes beyond what anybody thought was going to just be show up, walk through a line, get your box set and go home.
Yeah.
It was far from that. Far from that.
My favorite line of the day was, you know, as I'm packing up my photo gear and stuff, one of the fans, right? And he walked by me and shook my hand and said thank you. And as he's walking away, he goes, F the haters. And I just thought that was so appropriate.
Yep. You know, at the end of the day, if this is how somebody wants to spend their money, it's up to them. Whether they can afford it or not is nobody else's problem. And, you know, hopefully they get their money's worth. And I would have to say, based on what you are explaining, and you saw it, every single person got more than mm-hmm. their money's worth out
yeah,
of
it. And how often does that happen?
And they haven't even gotten home to read the book or listen to the CDs
nope.
yet. We're just talking nope. the nearly 12 hours they spent with Gene.
Yeah. That was a pretty good day.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. You know, thank you for sharing that with us.
Thanks for having me on.
And
I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
Thank you for being there to capture the photos for all those fans, because you captured a lot of very personal moments for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm really happy with how they turned out. And Gene posted them online, so if you want to share some of them, they're in the public there. Feel free.
We'll do. We'll put a link in the description for everybody. So, all right, Jay.
Awesome.
That's it. Thank you for taking the time to sit down with us and sharing with Three Sides on the Side.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
Yep.
Take Three Sides of the Coin with you anywhere. Download your 5-star rated free smartphone app today and listen on your Android or Apple smartphone. Visit android.threesidesofthecoin.com or ios.threesidesofthecoin.com. Want to get your official Three Sides of the Coin logo and shocker tee? Now you can. We ship worldwide. Get yours online at shop.threesidesofthecoin.com.
For interviews and media inquiries, contact Izzy at izzypresleyproductions.com.
Download your free copy of the KISS School of Marketing.
11 lessons I learned working with KISS.
The number one downloaded business book on Noisetrade. Go to books.noisetrade.com/Michael Brandvold.
You're listening to Three Sides of the Coin.
Love the show. Go to itunes.threesidesofthecoin.com and leave your review and rating of Three Sides of the Coin. Thanks.